she was a bit of a provocateur, so she would sometimes say things that I'm not entirely sure she meant to be taken literally, but she didn't like to overthink food and eating.
That's Adam Fetterman, and I'm Dan Skinner. This is Conversations. Adam Fetterman is a reporting fellow with the Investigative Fund of the Nation Institute. He's written for numerous publications, including The Nation, The Guardian, and Gastronomica. He's also a former line cook, bread baker, and pastry chef. He joins us to talk about his book, Fasting and Feasting, The Life of Visionary Food Writer Patience Gray. Adam, welcome.
That's great to be here.
Patience Gray is known for her book, Honey from a Weed, which was published back in 1986. Tell us about that book, and why do you think it was so well received at the time?
Yeah, it's really a remarkable book. It was kind of a landmark in the world of food writing, published, 30 years ago. And it is a highly unconventional book. Patience struggled to find a publisher, spent almost 15 years, in fact, trying to find someone to take on the task of editing the book and turning it into what it is today. And it's a remarkable compendium of essays, recipes. It also includes a really wide-ranging section on edible wild plants and fungi. And of course, it's an account of the life that Patience and her partner Norman had lived throughout these small villages in the Mediterranean. So it really combines a number of elements, which I think is what sets it apart.
In some ways, was she ahead of her time? I mean, do you think her views about food resonate even better today?
I think she was, but somewhat ironically, she was ahead of her time because she was living in a very sort of pre-modern way. They didn't have electricity, telephone, hot water. They were truly sort of off the grid there in Puglia, the south of Italy, where they moved in 1970. And this way of life instilled in her a sense of relying on food that was in season, a deep understanding of what it meant to do without. The title of my book is Fasting and Feasting, and in fact, fasting was part of the way of life in some of the places that Patience and Norman lived. So yeah, I mean, she really was ahead of her time, but also, writing about this kind of ancient and what Patience called a fast disappearing way of life.
How did you become interested in her story?
It was kind of a roundabout encounter in the sense that I had never heard of Patience until after she died in 2005, and I came across an obituary of her in a magazine called The Art of Eating, a quarterly food magazine published in Vermont, and the editor of that magazine, Ed Baer, had always been a great champion of Patience's work and had, in fact, visited her on a couple of occasions in the 1990s. So he described Honey from a Weed as one of the best books that will ever be written about food. And when I read that, it really intrigued me. And then it turned out that my parents actually had a copy of Honey from a Weed. So I sort of dove right in and was really swept away by the book. And that set me on the path of learning more about who this remarkable woman was.
As part of your research, I understand that you reached out to her daughter, Miranda.
Yeah, so this was back more than 10 years ago now, after reading Honey from a Weed and learning a bit more about Patience. She wrote several books, some of which were never published or not published during her lifetime. So her daughter Miranda is an artist and had actually illustrated Patience's last book, which was published after she died in 2005, called The Centaur's Kitchen. So I wrote to the publisher and asked if he would pass my letter along. And soon after, I got a reply from Miranda saying that her brother Nicholas was living in the farmhouse in Puglia where Patience and Norman had lived for more than 30 years. And they were both incredibly generous and open. And Nick invited me to come down to Puglia and to take a look at the letters that Patience had left behind. And that was really the start of the realization that there was a tremendous archive of letters and that this woman had lived a truly eye-opening life.
So you visited Nick. How did that visit influence ultimately what you wrote about Patience Gray?
That first visit was in 2006 in the autumn. I spent a couple of months there reading through letters and also coincided with the olive harvest. I certainly got a sense of the landscape and what it was like to live there, which I'm sure found its way into the book in some way. And of course, Nick and Miranda both knew Patience better than just about anyone and they were absolutely indispensable guides to my research, and of course had a unique perspective and a vast wealth of knowledge about patients. But at the same time, there were things about her and her life that remained unknown. So that was really kind of the task that I had to fulfill, was to find out who she was during this earlier period of her life that she chose for many reasons not to really talk about.
Well, what did you learn about her childhood, her earlier part of her life, and how did that influence her later work?
You know, she had a relatively privileged upbringing. She was one of three sisters, precocious, and from a very early age, I would say, quite independent, was always kind of seeking to chart her own course, and in fact, went off to Queen's College in London at the age of 13 and traveled in Europe as a young woman, went to the London School of Economics, and then just before the war, she met Thomas Gray, who would become the father of her children, though she never married him. She took his surname. And that really marked a decisive period in Patience's life, having two children out of wedlock, leaving Thomas, and then raising her kids on her own during the war. And that period was one that she really struggled with and chose to kind of leave behind.
During Patience's life, of course, she lived through the World War. What was that experience like for her, and how do you think that influenced her later on?
Patience did an interview with the BBC in 2002, just a few years before her death, and she talked about the experience of living in this cottage during the war and learning to forage, gather wild mushrooms and plants, and it was really there that she took an interest in cooking. And I think it was living through this period of privation and scarcity was something that became the foundation for her approach to food and cooking later on. And that experience during the war was certainly central, I think, to Patience's later career as a food writer.
Adam, as you learn more about the life of Patience Gray, what did you find most fascinating about her?
There were so many things, but one of the interesting aspects of her life, and this became more apparent when she met Norman Momans in 1958, and they left London for the Mediterranean a few years later. Norman had a real interest in mysticism, astrology, the occult. And Patience, too, was drawn to that. She was always sort of fascinated by astrology and seemed to take it quite seriously. And I found that somewhat surprising, given her interest in the natural world, taxonomy, science, plants, cooking, and all that. They seemed to be kind of incongruous. So I was certainly struck to see that they would use divining rods to find water or swing a pendulum over a book to make an important decision. And it was something that Patience didn't necessarily write or talk about much, but they seem to be kind of contradictory elements of her life.
Although she's known for writing about food, she once wrote that she was not particularly interested in food. Why did she say that?
Right. I think that was soon after they'd moved to Puglia in the 1970s. She was a bit of a provocateur, so she would sometimes say things that I'm not entirely sure she meant to be taken literally. But she didn't like to overthink food and eating. She felt like it was an important part of everyday life, but that one shouldn't spend too much time fussing over it or devoting too much of their working day to it. So, you know, I think she did do a lot of cooking, particularly during the summer months. They had streams of visitors, and there were periods when she just sort of felt like, you know, I've had enough of the time to do something more, you know, honorable.
Now that you've had a chance to explore her life and write this book, what do you see as the lasting legacy of Patience Gray?
It is her work, and then I think that's what she'll be remembered for. But the life she lived was truly singular, and I think that's my hope, is to kind of bring the two together as an expression of a truly unforgettable 20th century food writer and icon.
Thank you for talking with me.
It was a real pleasure. Thank you.
Adam Fetterman's book is Fasting and Feasting, The Life of Visionary Food Writer Patience Gray. More interviews on a wide variety of topics are available at kpr.ku.edu/conversations. You can also use our KPR app to listen on your phone or tablet. Conversations is a production of Kansas Public Radio. I'm Dan Skinner. Thanks for listening.